the evolution where we will transmit, we will transfer all the majority of our efforts into the content part of our websites and the quality, the site-wide quality.
Welcome to Unmiss, your go-to digital marketing hub. I'm Anatoly Ulatovsky, here with expert tips and exclusive chats to boost your online game. Let's get started.
Hello, good people. Welcome to our show. Hello, bad people. Welcome. Today we are going to discuss about SEO, how to create your strategy, how we need to consider AI today, because for me, it's a must have. If you want to create great content, high quality content, you need to use AI. And I disagree completely if someone can say that AI only creates generic stuff. You can create great high quality content if you do it right. And I grew my results. I got a lot of traffic by using AI content. I don't care if this content is AI written or not. And I think Google is on the same boat. Google is looking for quality. So if you can provide quality with AI, you can get great results. I'm so excited to discuss a lot more with Dida Grigorov. How are you?
Hello, and thanks for having me. I'm fine. Thanks. What about you guys?
Yeah, big pleasure to get on my show. I want to learn more. And I found...
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, I found it's important to update what you have. If you have something that works, that's cool, but you need to update, you need to improve. And I changed a lot of well-working approaches. I remember in 2008, I started my journey, digital journey, and I changed a lot. Because that time we paid attention to create content, we paid attention to acquire backlinks. It's important today as well, but we have many other algorithms that we need to satisfy. We had a team of writers who wrote about anything. We gave them all topics that you can imagine, you know. And today I cooperate only with experts who know specific topic. Dida, before we start, just tell more about yourself, experience, background, and anything that can help our listeners to learn more about you.
Yeah, I will be very happy to do it. Yes, okay. So I have about 22 years of professional experience in SEO. Yes, I started when I was a kid. When I was nobody talked about SEO, but it was there. Actually, I'm very happy that the rumoring around SEO started almost immediately after Google has been launched. Not exactly immediately, but let's say 1 or 2 years after that, so people could realize that it's possible to optimize a website according to specific keywords, so you can get better positions, you can get more traffic and so on. But it was way easier compared to now. 2007 was one of these important years for me, because this is where I started playing with Python. And I was much more interested into the software development, software engineering, and I made the connection between software engineering, between all the processes involved there, along with the current tests with artificial intelligence during that time. If I can say it, artificial intelligence, it was more machine learning and data science, but I made the parallel between both of them and tried to implement as much as possible. Also reading a lot from the blog of Bill Slavsky and several different websites. Rest in peace, Bill Slavsky. He was an amazing mind. After that, I started programming in Python, doing lots of research stuff with different Python libraries. It was version 2.7, and now I work with 3.11. So things have changed, and they evolved really much within the time. So and I have about 10 years in software development industry. I mean, more into the programming stuff with Python. I also have tested many Java solutions, Golang stuff, C++, and so on. But my main experience is with Python. Currently, I'm the head of the content department of the most renowned SEO agency in Bulgaria called Serpact.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Love your experience. Great experience. And what I like today, that you don't need to be a technical guy to use AI. So of course it's important to have these skills with Python, but today we have a bunch of opportunities for someone who is non technical to get results. And I play a lot with AI. I cooperate with people who know Python because we handle different projects for investing, trading niches. We got great results, and I love to cooperate with these people. They can provide another level of creating and developing something new. And Dida, I want to ask about your background in Python more. Can you help how it helps you with SEO, and can you advise others what to learn, because Python is a big niche, you know. I'm not sure it's you can find the stop of learning Python. It's updating all the time, but can you tell how it helps you to get results in SEO?
For sure. There is a short and there is a long explanation. I will try to summarize it. Otherwise, maybe we will talk until tomorrow, guys. Yes. So, Python is a very versatile language. You can do really a lot. But there is one important thing. Actually, I was recently asked by a colleague. I want to learn Python and I want to use it in my Python strategies. What to do? The answer is that you need to still understand at least the basics of the software engineering. What I mean is that you can't just learn a programming language just like that. There are lots of interconnected things with between the conceptions of the software engineering and Python, and how Python might help you in the SEO. There is a short answer. Actually, the short answer is just test and learn how to use libraries, how to use different frameworks, and how to combine them. Same applies for the machine learning models, large language models. Now there are very good frameworks like let's say LangChain, which is a great example. But the long answer here is that you still need these math foundations. The mathematical foundation, like understanding at least the basics of the discrete math, linear algebra, also calculus. Maybe this will help you. This will help you a lot, because there are people who really would like to play with the models, just like me. I like playing with models. I like modifying models. I like creation of new models. And once you do it, if you want to do it, you have to understand math. It's almost impossible if you don't understand it. Yeah, but you can still play even without the math, even without the engineering skills. You can play with the ready to go, let's say that way, libraries and the models. Hugging Face is a very good source of this kind of models and data sets. You can also use Kaggle, so you can train your skills, you can gain and gain better knowledge, and you can try to implement this knowledge into your SEO strategies. If I have to talk about me personally, I use lots of stuff. I love playing with large language models. I love playing with different the combination between different machine learning models. So I can extract, for example, entities. I can extract people, also ask questions, contextualized, of course, all around a specific particular phrase I'm looking after for a specific project. I also love doing this NLP analysis of content, relevance analysis with contextual stuff like Cohere, for example. I really love Cohere and now very much work with them because actually it's a company created by ex-Googlers, and they implemented some really interesting and smart solutions for text generation, classification, ranking, re-ranking. So you can, if you know how to program, of course, you can create a ranking predictor, you can create a re-ranking stuff with these libraries, but also you have the option to modify the models so they can fit your needs. But actually, if I have to summarize, Python helps me a lot because I can automate lots of stuff. I find lots of creativity when it comes to the SEO, and a lot of secrets has been revealed to me thanks to Python and thanks to many libraries, because as I usually love to say, most of the secrets are actually within the software engineering conceptions and the programming languages, and they are supporting libraries, because in the end of the day, search engines are softwares. They're based on software engineering principles. So the intersection point is a very big one. So
Exactly.
I use it day to day.
Nice. You know, I need to share this episode with my son. He hates mathematics. He loves soccer. And he told me he doesn't need maps. He wants to play soccer and that's it, you know, to become a new Leo Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo. I don't know. We'll see. But I want to tell him it's important to learn. It doesn't matter. If you love playing soccer, just do it. Of course, it's important to go with your passion. But it's important to learn as well, to get education, to read books, to learn mathematics. And he hates it.
Yes, when it comes to the SEO job, let's say that way, as a profession, I wouldn't say that programming is a mandatory skill, at least not for now. Let's see what Google has for us in the future, because we see that there is a new model, a very revolutionary one called Gemini. So we will see, I believe we will see a totally new era when it comes to the searching experience and information retrieval at all. But for now, I strongly believe that programming is for people who really would like to dig deeper into the stuff. And of course, it's all about where you set your boundaries.
Yeah, nice. Dida, I want to ask about, you mentioned about Gemini or Gemini.
Gemini,
because I saw different variations of how to pronounce it. But anyway, it's if someone doesn't know about Gemini, it's a new model for and Google implemented to BART. I think most people know AI tool BART from Google. And someone told me, by the way, a few times that Gemini is better than ChatGPT. I compared, and sometimes I can get much better results with ChatGPT. Sometimes I can get better results with BART, but it depends. But if I compare both, I don't know why, but for me, ChatGPT works better than BART with Gemini after this update. Probably we will see more updates soon. I don't know. But today I play a lot with ChatGPT. But for some topics, for example, even what I like on BART, I can draw infographic. You know, I don't know if someone can use this feature. Basically, you can write add data. And ask BART, please create this infographic. You can do with other tools like Canva, many others, but on BART, you don't need to use features, just write your prompt and get this infographic. It's not like complex infographic, but a simple one, and users love it. You don't need to, I don't know, to crush their minds. Dido, can you tell about these tools, ChatGPT and BART? I think most of founders usually use these tools. They are not technical guys. I mean, like, who can listen to this podcast. Can you tell how to use this tool smart to get great results from your experience?
Yes, I recently had this question asked by another local media here. And what I usually say is that making a comparison between these two models is kind of I don't know how to say. Yes, they have the same intent, but technically they're different. I won't dive into the technical details because, as you said, we don't have this technical audience here watching us live. But the thing is that BART is in the era of the so-called multimodal models. Or at least this is where the Google team put their efforts in. And what they would like to achieve is that actually Gemini aims to process images to be able to write captions, to understand the images, maybe to understand also videos, also images plus videos plus audio, even audio, yes, or all of them in combination. While the ChatGPT is more textual, is more contextual model. It works better for content and for writing good content, for maybe for classification as well. But I would say that even if you want to unleash the full potential, you still need to program it. If you want to use the official interface, you're kind of restricted both for Gemini and for the Bard and for ChatGPT. But how these two tools could be used for SEO? For ideas. First, for ideas. They're full of ideas. They're full of creativity because you can create with the right prompts. And I strongly recommend, usually people when ask me how to use ChatGPT for SEO, I usually say, learn prompt engineering. And when I say engineering, I don't mean start coding these prompts and so on. There are specific tricks you can use, like using specific triggering words in the prompts, using a specific way of constructing your prompts and so on. And of course, never forget that this is a model and it learns and feeds back from your previous input, from your previous interaction with the model. So at some point, maybe you won't get your best answer right at the beginning. But after some prompts, you will get it. We shouldn't forget that these models could also hallucinate. This is absolutely normal because they don't have all the knowledge on the planet. In this moment, I'm picturing on my mind several data centers exploding. If they have all of this knowledge, they wouldn't be able to handle these models. But I would say that for SEO, we can use ChatGPT for automation, like writing metadata, like writing our content. But the idea here is don't forget the human touch. Yes, yeah. I would always say ChatGPT is a great tool to save your time of the day. Like you have, for example, you know, our everyday schedules, they are overwhelmed. We are overflooded with tasks again and again and again every single day. So we definitely need this kind of automation. But at the same time, never forget that this is a math model behind the words. These models can feel. They can touch the user. They can express feelings, other emotions, and so on. So you can use the content written by ChatGPT as a basis, as a reference point, and you can go from there and you can add your touch, your human being touch. So I strongly believe in SEO that at least for the next 5 to 10 years, maybe this human involvement will still persist because I will repeat myself, machines cannot express emotions. And maybe they will never be able. The era of the multimodal models actually is trying to replicate the human being emotions. Yes, Gemini is one of these models. Even the researchers, they share this information after testing Gemini that there are even applications already, even small ones on the web, trying to guess your emotions. I remember the day that I stumbled upon a post on Instagram because I'm part of many different channels about and groups about programming, and I saw a guy who created an application, a small application, guessing the emotions. And what he shares is that it's 50% accurate. So machines are still machines. Let's keep them and let's don't forget that they are machines. In the SEO part, we still need to express the message of the brand. The brand is important. Content forms the brand, the voice tone, the message to the audience. The content is not only content strategy is not only for the search engines. It's also for the users. Search engines never buy. They don't request services. People do it. So we have to satisfy the user. The way how ChatGPT could help us is just to save us time, automate our tasks, and provide us with creativity. This is what I strongly believe, and this is what my day-to-day work shows me and proves me with ChatGPT and Bart. I also use Bart as well as you.
Yeah, valuable. Love it. And I agree, you need to learn from engineer, but I think it's important to know two more aspects. The first, you need to know how to write. Because I saw when people without writing skills are trying to create great text,
it's
tough. Because if you have no skills how to write, ChatGPT will provide, or Bart or any other tool will generate just text, and you can't check the quality.
Random content. Yes.
And the second important thing is to know the topic. For example, I can create great content about accounting, about weight loss. Even I had this experience to lose weight, but that was personal experience. A few years ago, I decided to do it, and I found the way with fasting, other aspects. But I can't teach others. I can't explain. Yeah, it's just personal experience. And I'm not an expert on this niche to explain or create great content. I can't do it in accounting because I still use calculators, spreadsheets. I'm not a big expert on that. But if you know how to write, and if you know the topic, you can become prompt engineer. Then you can write the right prompts. Then you can edit. And I play with ChatGPT a lot. I can start one chat, ask to change my prompts, to write new requests. Then I can close the chat, open new one, start from scratch. So it's part of the process to find what actually will work. And this tool is great. For example, we use ChatGPT to edit our text. Basically, I can write a bad copy with a lot of grammar mistakes. I don't care about these mistakes. I just care about quality of data, valuable data, something new. Then I ask ChatGPT to edit this text for big publications like Forbes, CNN, and we use this editing tool and got mentions on many big websites, including CNN, including Bloomberg, Investing.com, Business Insider, big websites, because we edit on ChatGPT. We don't write from scratch. Even if I have the skills, we collect data, we get this data, ask ChatGPT, and today, we counted. We paid like $6,000 for one press release to write and pitch one press release to big PR agencies. These agencies are great, but they overcharge. You know, it's a lot of money for one press release. So, but when we started this process themselves, basically we explained to our writers how to use this press release format. We explain what we journalists want to get. Of course, we didn't get results from the first attempt. It took like three months to see first result, 6 months to get great results. And today we get a lot better results by having this process than if we pay to PR agencies. And we save like $3 million, good money, you know, for one project, because we pitch 12 press releases a week, 12 press releases, and it's possible. Just and it's impossible if you do that. This tool will decide all your problems. Not, you need to collect data. This tool is not ready, not ChatGPT, not Bart, but if you know how to write, if you know how to edit, if you know the topic, then results will come. Yeah, so I agree. Dida, I want to ask about SEO more. You know, I want even more about the future of SEO, because in 2008, when I started my journey, we created content for search engines. I want to confess, we did it because we didn't know any other methods. And today,
that was the truth.
Yeah, today these methods are obsolete. It's not because of Google. It's, I think, even more because of competition. 15 years ago, many companies ignored Google. Many content creators ignored Google. But today, I don't know even one company who can ignore digital marketing, digital channels.
It's impossible.
Yeah, and Google, of course, changed a lot of algorithms, and we cooperate with experts who can write about specific topic. I don't care if they use ChatGPT or not. I just care about quality. You know, if people can bring something new, it works. So I want to ask about the future of SEO, because the main question is, I see when people can tell SEO is never dead. I think everything has the end, everything, including SEO. But it takes time. It takes time to change habits. It takes time to bring new environment. People, including me, it's tough for us to change our habits. But I do it. I started to use a lot more AI tools than Google. Before that, I use Google, I use YouTube, but today I can ask a lot of questions on ChatGPT, on Bard, and can get much better, faster results. I can share one example. I did it in other episodes. For example, I decided to buy new Tesla in Florida, and I searched on Google, can I use this autopilot self-driver's feature on Florida, because each state in the US have different law. And I couldn't find a simple answer on Google, you know. So simple question, but I got a lot of information about Tesla, about electric cars, you know. But I don't need it. I just needed a simple answer to simple question. And I got this answer on Bard for a few seconds. I can share a lot of other examples. And for me, this 10 blue links are obsolete compared to environment that we have today. For example, another example, Amazon. Amazon found that people, buyers, usually read maximum 3 reviews of products. 90% of people can read 10 reviews, but not more. So, but products can have 1,000 reviews. People have no time to read these reviews. And Amazon uses AI to summarize all reviews that people leave. Basically, you can read just one review. It's a summary of all other reviews.
The so-called text summarization of the language model. Yes.
Yes, and I think it's the same with Google. If I shared my example, if it's tough to find an answer, and the main goal of Google to bring you information as fast as possible. It's the main goal of Google, because on social media is different. Social media wants to retain you as much as longer. So if they retain, they earn a lot more money. But on Google, they wanna you to bring relevant link when you get everything what you need and to leave this search engine. So probably it's obsolete today if chatbots can reply to these questions. And my main question about blogging. You know, we write a lot of blog posts. We still do it. It's powerful channel. It brings a lot of traffic. But yes, what about the future if chatbots will reply to these questions much faster? When I ask my son, please search on Google, he uses TikTok. He doesn't care about Google. So I'm not sure about the future. 12% of people today, use chatbots than Google. 12% of people. It's for an year. It's just a year, and many change. So, what do you think about future of SEO, especially blogging content?
So, as you said, everything has its end, and that's absolutely normal, because there nothing is eternal on this planet. Even us as a human society, but I wouldn't say that SEO is going away in the future. It will just evolve. I will, of course, mention John Mueller words, but actually, he is absolutely right. It will evolve. And what I strongly believe and I see, it's already here in the US results of Google, it is that the generative AI search is here. But it's not fully rolled out, let's say that way. It will never be, because this is a very long journey when it comes to the software engineering aspect until all of this data Google have that Google has to be to be reprocessed so it will work with this search generative experience. But when it comes to the blogging part, this will be even more important in the future, even more. And it will be important how we write the content, how we structure it, what will be the content architecture, content infrastructure, how we format the content and actually and how we follow the syntax rules from, let's say, the NLP, the natural language processing point of view. Because maybe you have seen and you mentioned some of these cases where if you type a specific query, Google will put down these 10 blue links. They will go way, way, way down compared to what we used to where we used to see them. For most of the queries now and for most of the countries around the world, they're still the first results we can see, besides the future snippets and so on. But in the USA, the situation is a little bit different now. Not for all queries, but from what I saw, approximately for about 40% of the queries, you can see generated AI results, where you have summary of content coming from websites. This is a very important point because it's coming from the website. These websites are credited, so you can see once you click on an image or a specific element of this new search generative experience, you can go to a specific website. Of course, things will be totally different when it comes to the ranking positions and for people obsessed by them, because I always have to say, who will be at position one in this situation? You have a, let's say, a dashboard. You will have a dashboard full of different elements where you can click here and there. You can interact with these widgets, let's say them search widgets. So who will be first position? I would say nobody. We will be fighting for being included into these widgets because they will get most of the impressions, most of the clicks. And in my opinion, the positions won't be that much important like they are currently. Of course, the second thing that will be important for us in the era of the search generative experience will be the SGE, how it is abbreviated now. It will be the search user experience. It's important now, but it will become even more important because and we can even see it now. Google rewards websites with good traffic, with good user experience. I mean, if they follow the EAT requirements and if they are really trustworthy, if they show the authoritativeness, expertise, in specific field, and if they have really good comprehensive content, the thorough content where they can show the expertise, where they can show that they're really good experts in their fields, and how this reflects to the SEO. Of course, it reflects because you keep the user longer way, you keep the interest because you kind of make the user to visit more pages on your website. You lower down your bounce rate because this is inevitable part. If you keep the user longer time, you won't have that high bounce rate. And at the same time, you can see that the page views also go higher. And that's absolutely expected, I would say, because the engaging content with the engaging, I would say, these new JavaScript frameworks and elements you can build, like, for example, let's say you mentioned the weight loss, you can build a very interesting quiz in your blog post, for example, where you can return a result to the user, and this will engage the user to stay more time on your page. So this will be rewarding by Google. It will be really well appreciated. And for sure, people with this kind of interesting websites who spend lots of time to create their content, like you mentioned, you create it with AI, but you also put your efforts on this pieces of content so you can give them the human being touch and the expertise needed, these pieces of content will be rewarded. I don't know if you remember, but SEM Rush, they shared their annual ranking factors. I actually hate factors. I would say ranking signals. When it comes to Google search engine, and one of the most important signals they have observed is the relevance. So this thing by itself talks to us that the relevance will be the key. So the content will continue to be important, and the things will continue to be to follow the direction of the better content strategies. So if we have to put more time, we have to spend we have to put our efforts mostly on the content part of the websites, not so much on I strongly believe that we won't care that much for the technical part compared to the content, because actually this is what the user engages with when they visit their your website. They will engage with the content, they will engage with the brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is the future. I'm in my opinion, this is the future of the SEO. But I wouldn't say that the SEO is going away. No, yeah. It's not going. It will very much evolve, and I think that in front of us is a very big leap of this evolution. In the near future, the evolution where we will transmit, we will transfer all the majority of our efforts into the content part of our websites and the quality, the site-wide quality.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. You know, I'm so bad to predict the future. I tried a few times with crypto and I failed. So today, I like that I can't predict the future. I usually on the second stage, basically, I can't create ChatGPT, I can't create Google, but I can use these technologies to adapt fast, whatever happens. And marketers on TV and radio didn't lose their jobs. They adapted to digital. And we need to adapt to new technologies. We need to think fast. And you will be fine if you do it faster than your competitors. Just learn whatever happens. Follow Dido Grigora, follow Anatoly Litovsky, follow many great experts online to learn from them, read news. And yeah, if you adapt fast, then you will be fine. At least before Terminators, when they kill all human beings, we still have time, you know.
that's a very important skill, actually, you mentioned, to adapt fast. The fast learners, let's say it that way, they will be really well rewarded. They will be on the rise in the near future. So even people who learn a little bit slower, they will need to adapt to become fast learners. As I said, I believe this evolution to the generative AI search, it will be a very big leap for us.
Mm-hmm. According to your reply to this question, can you advise how to adapt to this possible future? Okay, SEO is not going away, in your opinion, but it's evolving. It's evolving all the time, even today. And the process will be much faster in the future. For example, I remember when I started my SEO, we wrote content for search engines. Today, we write only for human beings, but optimized for search engines. Probably in the future, keyword research will be obsolete, I don't know. I can assume it's possible, according to technologies, that Google can recognize user intent, whatever they write, to recognize the best content to show them. And I'm interested more about blogging. Here's the reason, because we write a lot of blog posts. I remember when featured snippets appealed, many content creators complained, wow, Google steal our content, what's going on? I promise you, you will miss this time when chatbots will steal all your content without even linking, because on feature snippets you got the link, you get this link today, but chatbots just rewrite steal entire content without linking, and you will miss this time. Anyway, I want to ask about blog content. If I can find about Tesla self-driver's feature on chatbots, I can ask a lot of other questions that chatbots can provide better experience than I get on Google. I mean, like, blog authors spend so much time to craft this content, to create great content. It takes time. I know from personal experience, we pay a lot to great content creators who can write for Forbes, Investopedia, big websites, and we still invest a lot. But I switch my attention. I still write in this blog post, but write less, and we usually pay attention to create simple tools with AI, and it works well. We create calculators, converters, many other things. It generates more traffic, and I think chatbots can't steal this traffic, at least today. I don't see this possibility. I'm not sure that ChatGPT or Bard is interested to take all possible calculators online, and we get data even from Bard by using API. I want to ask about blogging content, because I see when companies pay so much attention on that. Can you advise what to do, how to write blog posts, and your opinion about that? Do we need to still write? Do we need to decrease? Do we need to switch attention? So any tips about that?
I would say increase at least in the future, yes. But I would say also develop strategies smartly. Follow the user intent. This is very important because, as I said, we have to satisfy the users. And happy users with good content will be rewarded with good clicks on our Google Search Console and impressions. The well-written blog post usually starts with a good plan, with a good outline. I teach in very often in academies, SEO academies here locally. At our company, we have SerpaCat. If somebody is interested, I can share a link so you can see the website. But the thing is that what I mean is that the initial outline, the initial research before writing a blog post is very important. Also, one of the questions that usually Google put on their table is on our table, actually, is the purpose of the page. But I see that not so many people understand it properly. It's actually where this page stays in the overall user journey, where it stays when it comes to the user intent, and also where it stays in your semantic network, let's say that way. So semantic structure of your website. Because just writing, yes, maybe you will gain some traffic, but it won't be the traffic you're after. It won't be the buyer persona you're looking after, and what you will actually, this traffic will be pointless to you, to your blog, to your business. So a good plan is important. Thinking about the user is important. Thinking about the relevance also is important. Here comes the intersection between the user with the intent and the search engines, because search engines requires us to include these specific terms so we can show that we are really experts in a specific topic, let's say that way. These terms could be entities. They could be any specific related phrases, questions. They could be specific conceptions. So around these conceptions, we have to use the appropriate terms. And along with these appropriate terms, also maybe the supporting entities and the supporting knowledge around them and so on. We can still use Google to research many of these things. We can use Python, like me, if you know it, of course, or you can gain this skill, or you can use third-party tools. There are so many. We can just research. We can ask a chatbot, of course, to do it for us, or to mention for us some tools. But yeah, as I say, and when we have these regular meetings with my team, we usually talk about the different outlines. So how we plan, and we usually prepare the outlines of the blog posts. we find the place of every single topic within the whole semantic network of the website, and we think about the user and the relevance. So the user should be all the way satisfied, all the way happy, because we can, of course, everybody today can write a blog post with ChatGPT, let's say. We can publish it on the website, and that's all. But in the end of the day, this is a machine-generated content. Maybe it will provide some value to somebody, but might not provide the needed value for, let's say, the more experienced audience. So in this situation, the human touch is important. That's why this is, I say, it is the intersection between the search engines and the users. And we always live there. We are always between these two worlds. I mean, the SEO experts, between the worlds of the search engines, where the math is preliminary, and the users, where people have their expectations. They would like to see something specific in the content. But yeah, these are the three steps. Plan good, create a good outline, think about the user, think about the relevance, and think about relevancy, and also think about where your page, your blog post stays, what is the place of your blog post within your whole semantic network of your website.
Yeah, nice. And yeah, I agree about that. Even New York Times, Forbes, Washington Post, these big publications appealed before Google. So, I mean, like, you need to write content that people wanna read, and you will win at any environment. For example, I love reading all books from Jack London. He wrote these books 100 years ago. The quality is great. If I read any of his books, I can live on this book. I can forget about meal, water, anything, because I'm on this book, specific book. And if you, the main goal of any content is to be, I don't know, it's not only about value. You need to write non-boring content. If you create non-boring content that people want to read, that people want to ask more, demand more. Please bring me more. I remember this book from Harry Potter. And when Joe Rowling wrote this book, all these books, people ask, please write new books. We want to get them. It's not about SEO. And if you today you need to craft your skills to win brand recognition, to create this feeling, I wanna more, to make your readers greedy to your content. Please, I need new insights. So, and this content will win at any environment. It doesn't matter what kind of future will be.
And when it comes to the future, you ask me, maybe at some point, the content writers will need to understand at least the basics of the NLP. What I mean is the basic conceptions, so they can properly structure their sentences, their paragraphs. They can find the logical connection between the paragraphs, and syntactically they can build the sentences in a proper way, so they can make the life of these sophisticated algorithms better, which will be also rewarding. But it's still early for this to step on this stage. But at some point, this will be needed. Of course, nobody will expect to from them to be experts in this area and so on, but learning, reading a little bit in this area won't hurt, for sure. It will help them. I don't mean read the technical part, start programming NLP applications. Although most of the time when I show somebody something like this, they gain the patience to start building these kind of applications. But if you want to continue, if your passion is content writing, then at some point maybe it's worth to read one or two articles around the NLP and what is NLP at all, because this is the foundation. In the end of the day, this is the foundation. And everything stands, I will say now something that nobody will believe me, but actually, do you know when the AI dates from?
Yeah, nice.
It dates actually from the 50 years of the previous century, which is totally amazing, with the first chatbot called Eliza.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, cool. I have two questions left, important questions for my audience. Let me explain who will consume the first reply. Founders of companies who are looking for ways to cooperate with great experts, but they need to learn the basic. And from my experience, you need to understand what it is, how you can get benefits from that. For example, if you want to hire an SEO agency, you need to understand why we need to create high quality content, how to do it, what high quality means, how, why it's important to get authority, trust, many different aspects. I have students who are looking for ways to learn from scratch, especially today when we have AI, when we have Python, SEO, different insights. So basically, I want to ask you, if you started today from scratch, forget about your 20 years of experience, sorry, and forget about SEO. You know Google exists, you use Google to search, but you have no idea how it ranks websites. What will you do today if you need to start from scratch? Completely from scratch?
For sure. I would start with reading some books immediately from Amazon. There are some really great examples. I would say that there was one book. It's still in the market. It is The Art of SEO, written by Eric Eng and Stefan Spencer. This is one of the most foundational, I would say maybe the foundations of SEO. Whenever I get back to this book, I find something new and something interesting rereading it. So it's kind of one of these books written with an eye view to the future. Let's say it that way. With our eyesight, our eyes turns into the future trends. So everything there is very common. It's like a big summary of common rules. So I will definitely start from there. I will read the book. I will start maybe following some articles, reading the Google documentation 100%. I will go to the Google AI research website, which is amazing. Of course, immediately you won't understand many, many, many things. But this is why we have search engines like Google, like let's say Bing, DuckDuckGo, and so on. So we can you can research these terms, you can find additional articles, so you can understand the conceptions. But this is how I will start. And the Bill Slavsky blog is still available. So he was one of these great people who was able to transform all of this difficult knowledge into a very easy consumable, easy for understanding, easy for consuming, easy for realizing, I would say that way, semantic stuff when it comes to how the Google algorithms work. So I will definitely go from there, from these points, I would say three domain knowledge sources, so I can grasp the foundation of the SEO. So I will start with the book. I will go and read the documentation of Google. I will read the Google blogs, the AI section. It's a whole website, actually. And I will definitely go to the Bill Slavsky website because it's still here. It's called SEO by the Sea. And we can really learn a lot. Part of these things are still, they're still applicable even today. And they will be in the future. Yeah, they will be definitely in the future. Of course, there are so many websites like Search Engine Journal, like Search Engine Land, Search Engine Watch, where you can read lots of stuff. There are articles for beginners. There are also articles for advanced people and so on. Your website is very good as well with your podcasts, where people can learn from other people. But I will also say one very important aspect. Follow the influencers in the niche. You will definitely learn a lot. Of course, once you see their profiles, you see that they share lots of mixed stuff, like beginner stuff, intermediate and advanced, but slowly within the time you'll start understanding. So this is how I will start.
Nice. Yeah.
At least today, it was not the same case 22 years ago, because I didn't have we didn't have the influencers. Yeah. Bill Slavsky started around 2006. Eric King it was Perficient Digital. Before that, I don't remember the exact name. Sorry for this, but he had a blog. It actually doesn't exist anymore. He started sharing lots of interesting information there, but we didn't have that many sources. So yeah. Now the world is full. The wide world is full of options for learning. And of course, if you want practical experience, I strongly recommend Udemy. Mm-hmm. There are many courses there. They're cheap most of the time. So you can create your own websites. You can start applying your new skills. You can observe the results. So mm-hmm. if you make any mistakes, you can get back. You can learn from these mistakes. Because part of the SEO job work is trial and error. So nice. At some point, maybe you can... You have mistaken something, but you will learn from these mistakes. This is important.
Yeah, you remind me about Bill Slavsky. He spoke on this podcast, and we agreed about a new episode. And this episode, we scheduled on Friday, but he passed a few days before that. So yeah, that was terrible news. I remember when I watched this news. Wow, Bill Slavsky passed. What's going on? I didn't believe, because we spoke before that a few days ago, discuss about podcast to bring new value. Yeah, he was a great guy. You mentioned about Steven Spencer. He spoke on my podcast as well. I love his podcast. He can bring new valuable insights. Yeah, he's a good guy in New Zealand. He can teach a lot about SEO. I think it's important to learn and practice. I completely agree. For me, personally, I prefer to practice more than learn. I like to learn.
Most of the people prefer it.
Yeah, and I can sacrifice my learning by practicing, and I can't learn a tiny percent of existing knowledge, skills to listen all great podcasts. I can't read all great books. I can't consume all this blog posts from Search Engine Journal, Land, other blogs, because I have no time. But if I need to choose one thing, I prefer to act. I prefer to practice, to craft my skills. Of course, it's important to learn, to know the door that you need to open. But when you know the door, you need to practice. Because you can learn a lot, but without practice, nothing works.
You know, SEO is very much interconnected with the software engineering. Once you dig deeper into the software engineering, you realize it very soon. Mm-hmm. And that's why I would like to say one favorite sentence when it comes to what you say, that you love practicing over learning. You know Dennis Ritchie? Dennis Ritchie is actually the creator of the C language. It is one of the oldest languages on the planet. And I love one sentence. He said, "The best way to learn a programming language is to start building programs with it." It's the same with SEO.
Yeah,
the best. Yes, this is actually the case with programming languages and with SEO. You can't say you understand SEO until you start doing it.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. You remind me another quote from Gary Vee when he said about building the biggest biggest building in the city. So two methods. The first method is to start building the biggest building in the city. And the second, to watch how others can do it. So you have no other choices. And Didam, I have my final question. It's personal question about your daily routine, about mm-hmm. your schedule, prioritization, and it's important mm-hmm. to for choosing priorities because we have many mm-hmm. things to do. I have 100 things to do. I can't do all these things. I usually use three aspects. The first aspect, if I see it's important, I do myself. If I see it's less important or I have less skills than someone else, I delegate if I mm-hmm. can. And the rest mm-hmm. I can skip. I just forget about, okay, I can't do all things. I can't earn all money in the world. But for me, it's important to prioritize, delegate or to do myself or to skip. So can you tell about your daily routine? How you start your morning? How your day is going on? How you prioritize things, choose priorities? And how you balance between family and your business job?
Wow, this is a very, very interesting question. I think that we all strive to get that best balance between the free time, the time for hobbies, the time for family, just for the time for us, the personal time, and the time for our jobs and job tasks. My routine is very dynamic, if I have to say it that way. At the moment, I'm along with the SEO, I'm also a computer science student, and lots of coding is involved in my mm-hmm. routine, but also coding for coding solutions for my content team. So half of the day is coding for solutions for my team, and the other half of the day is working on SEO tasks related, where the AI helps me, the tools I have created also they help me, but I will also find some bugs I have to fix, I will listen to the feedback of my team so I can improve something, or maybe we have a problem on a project about something, so we have to fix it. I don't say I have any specific fixed routine. Instead of the hours where I have, let's say, 3 to 4 dedicated hours for coding, where I prefer not to be disturbed because coding is a very involving activity, and the thinking process, the mental process is very active during that, because you work with your logic. And I think about the optimal ways how to do these tools and or how to do a specific task for the university and so on. But during the other time, I prioritize. I will always prioritize from the most important projects. And I mean, when I mean most important are the projects according to their phase, according to the communication with the clients, which stage we are with the clients, what kind of problems do we have, are they major problems or they can be put away for some time, or we can, let's say, postpone them for 2 or 3 weeks in the near future, and so on. Mainly I will prioritize according to the importance of the tasks. So if I have to answer this question, this is how I usually organize my day. But for sure, I will also, along with the coding, I will also spend 1 or 2 hours per day to read the new information, to read some new articles, and see different aspects. I also follow some influencers into the SEO with AI and Python field, where I can see some new solutions, or I can help somebody with open source contribution to a specific specific solution. I can do it even during the weekend sometime if I have the creativity or the idea to do it. So it's very dynamic. I would say it's very dynamic.
Nice. Love it. Yide, it's a big pleasure to get on my show, to learn from you. I love the experience. So fun, valuable. I'm going to follow you because
thank you.
To update the skills that I have, I recommend to anyone to follow Dido on social media. You can find links in the description below. By the way, tell the best way how to keep learning from you, how to reach out to you, how to follow you.
The best way, so usually I'm very active on LinkedIn. Okay. Most of the time, yes. I really love it, and I love what happened to LinkedIn. Now it's a more, I would say, not so boring social media. It's a little bit more engaging now. You can do lots of stuff. You can make researches via LinkedIn. You can share articles. And I'm active on Facebook. So if somebody wants to connect with me, use my Facebook profile, use my LinkedIn, or maybe my email, which is dg@setpack.com.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I opened your LinkedIn profile. You are super active to share, repost content, valuable content. Mm-hmm. So, guys,
it's mixed actually. My content is actually is mixed there between the social, between the software engineering and SEO. But I try to keep the balance between nice. Both of them, because I know that I have both of the audiences there, the software awesome. Engineers and the SEOs. Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, guys, thanks a lot for listening or watching us, whatever you choose. You can listen us on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, watch on YouTube. Yeah, you can open my website. You can open social media accounts from Dido Grigorov to learn more about him, to follow him. It's a big mistake if you ignore it, because you can see a lot of valuable insights. Okay, guys, love you. See you.
Thanks for tuning in to Unmiss. Enjoyed the show? Drop us a review on your favorite platform and help us spread the digital marketing wisdom. See you next episode.